Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Jack Maynard.
By the introduction, I've been called special.
How are you doing?
Right. Good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. How are you doing?
What do you think of our sweaty hot room?
It is very sweaty and very hot. I've been here for 2 minutes and I feel like I need to change my t-shirt already.
I always like to think you get to burn some calories doing this.
I don't think it works.
This is my cardio. This is what I'm doing.
It doesn't work like that. You just leave with a smelly, sweaty outfit.
You know when you go in a sauna, do you lose weight in the sauna or not?
You lose water weight.
Yeah. So is that only on the day though? Is that not really a long term?
I can't say I've sort of put it to that.
Just sitting in a sauna is...
Do it as like a main form of exercise. Just going to a sauna and sitting in there.
But that sounds amazing. Wouldn't that be so good just to sit down?
Working out whilst doing nothing.
That's the dream, isn't it?
That is the dream.
Firstly, let's talk a little bit about you, about your story, about your background, being Colin Maynard's brother.
It's a dream come true, really, isn't it?
What some people probably don't know is that we're both from Brighton.
We are. I also feel like every YouTuber's from Brighton, though.
Do you know what?
At least has moved there.
It's the moving thing, isn't it? It's all fucking Zoe's fault. She was like, yeah, I'm going to move to Brighton because of Alfie. And then, obviously, everyone just knows Zoella.
Exactly.
They just think,
From there, everyone's from there.
When you look in the estate agents in Brighton, it's like, oh, this place gets you this many views, and that place gets that
probably.
If you live here, you're only 10 miles away from Zoe. It's great.
I genuinely reckon some people have tried selling it like that.
Like when I moved into my apartment, this agent was like, oh, this footballer lives here. This footballer.
Oh,
I was like,
that's a bit cringe.
I was like, but they still live here. Now, what number?
Now they probably do it with you when new people come around. They're
like,
you know,
Jack Maynard definitely doesn't live here, so you're fine.
You now live in London.
Yeah.
Feel like you haven't been a YouTuber for that long. You kind of like exploded proper quick.
Yeah, I had an all right start.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like you're still new to the scene, even though you've been here for how long? Have you been posting on YouTube? Like 3 years.
Like 3 years. Yeah.
And I'm 10 years.
Wow.
I'm a fucking granddad.
You really are.
So, how old are you when you first started posting on YouTube?
About to turn 21. It was like a month before my 21st birthday is when I started on YouTube. Now 23. You know, getting on
you're
a bit.
23.
Yeah, mate. I'm only 23. I'm younger than. All the other boys and
the older. What was the motivation behind YouTube? Like, was there one specific thing? Did you want to do it for ages and then you were like, you know what, I'm just gonna go for it? Or
it was definitely something I wanted to do kind of properly for a while and fully commit to myself. And so I used to live in Bristol. I lived there for a year doing TV presenting, so I was pretty comfortable in front of the camera. I'd been doing it literally like every day for a year, so I was feeling pretty good. And amazing what happened is my brother broke up with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And she moved out and he wanted me to move
in. The house. I remember the house.
The whole house. I'm sure you've heard it a million times from him. He's like, leave your job and come and live in London with me. And I was like, I need a job. He's like, yeah, we'll find you a job. You won't have to pay rent.
Just come and live with me.
Yeah.
That's nice, though, that you had that elderly brother like...
Well, you're there for each other, aren't
you? I was doing him a favour, you know. I was keeping him sane while he was keeping me alive pretty much in the house while I didn't have a job. So I ended up, I left.
So you moved to London.
Moved to London and we kind of had a deal. Because he knew I wanted to do YouTube and stuff. And he was like, why don't you do YouTube while you're looking for like presenting work and all of this? You don't have to pay rent if you make a channel and you upload once a week.
Mate, that is such a good deal.
So I was like,
imagine that.
Okay.
You can live in London, all you got to do is just post a video, like start a YouTube channel, something that you wanted to do.
Exactly. So it was pretty perfect, and that was kind of my motivation behind starting, and it all went pretty well.
And the presenting you were doing in Bristol, that was like their version of like London Live, wasn't it?
That's like their local TV exactly show. What it was. Yeah.
Doing that for a year, that's a good like chunk of experience, isn't it?
It was quite amazing because it was a new channel. I remember it was ages ago. I don't know how, but I was hosting this random thing in Bristol, terribly, so really badly. And the guy who was starting this TV channel just was like, oh, do you want to move here and do like full-time, get a full-time job presenting and stuff. And at that point, I was about 17, so I was like,
absolutely. Full-time job, perfect. That's decent.
Yeah, I guess with presenting, though, you kind of did it right because there's quite a lot of pressure, especially if you do live stuff, you don't get to fuck up.
Exactly. It was a lot of pressure, especially because I was so young and I'd never really done it before. Yeah. I really was blagging it for a long time.
Compared with YouTube, it's like, obviously, you edit your videos. It's you can edit yourself. Yeah. So whereas I guess it's quite good to set you up.
And it's quite funny as well, because there are so many people who have gone to like uni. I was the youngest there. They're all older than me. Gone to uni, done like journalism and all of this kind of stuff. And really worked to it. And I just kind of lagged my way in there. It was so questionable.
So before doing YouTube, was presenting like kind of the dream? Was that the career sort of goal?
Once I started, I was like, this is what I want to do. Yeah, do that. End up like trying to go on like MTV or kind of something like that. Yeah. That was the kind of goal at first, just being one of those kind of presenters. But luckily through YouTube, I ended up doing that as well. So it's kind of like a win-win. Presenting definitely helped me so much. I feel like that was such a big stepping stone. Like you said, I got so much experience in that year, which was so perfect for them when I started doing quite well on YouTube and presenting jobs started coming in. It was like, well, I've actually got so much experience in doing that.
Do you still feel it's like a direction that you want to take or that you would take? Or where
is your head at? 100%. It's like, I'm still like YouTube, that's kind of like
your core,
and that's what I will do until
I die.
Until it just isn't happening. Like, you know, until it just doesn't happen anymore, really. I can't. There's no reason why I'd stop. But yeah, presenting's when, like, if I can do that until I'm way older, really. Maybe end up on This Morning or something like that.
There
we go. Take that.
For people like me who are incredibly awkward on camera right now, I can feel that there's a pair of eyes over there. How do you guys think you stay, like, cool on camera and not show like being awkward, like with your I always think like, with my hands I'm always doing weird things.
I used to get that a lot though when I was presenting, especially if it's not like live, so maybe you don't have a mic or something like that, and you're just
especially
if it's like somewhere where you're meant to be standing still, you always want to be doing something with your hand. I don't know, I think just natural. I think for me it's just very much, especially when I started doing YouTube, it's all about like just being myself and not trying too hard and not trying to act like someone else, because then you've really got to think about everything you're doing, whereas when you're just yourself, it's easy.
It's just practice though. Like if you look at my first video, fucking hell, it's like the most awkward, cringy thing in the world, because I'm just sat there like, oh my god, I'm so scared of the camera. But you just become confident in yourself. Get more confident.
Go home and practice.
I was hoping you guys just be like, right, you do this, this and this and that's it, and it's like, no, you just got to be normal.
Just be a human. Well, Josh Peters, before he started YouTube, he must have recorded about 10 videos as like practice.
Mate, that's
like
smart.
Practice videos and stuff. I really want him to put it out.
Has he still got them?
I think he still has one of them, and it was literally the funniest thing. It is the most awkward video you'll ever see. He has no idea what's going on. He's talking about hot topics, so he's talking about like Justin Bieber, something was going on with him at the time. I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but oh, it was so funny, and I really wanted to
put
it out.
I want to see those.
I think you will eventually.
I swear, YouTubers, when they first start doing videos, they just talk about things in the news. Like, you did it, didn't you? Mate, and like Alfie was doing it.
Chasing those views. No one's searching for my name at that time. So.
Got the newspaper, Alan. What's going on this week?
That's all everyone does now. It's kind of about like news and like drama and all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What do you think about YouTube at the moment? The current climate, like what YouTube is doing?
It's so much harder now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a strange place.
I feel like I don't know what people even want to watch. America and the whole LA side of YouTube is completely taken over. Yeah. That apart from JJ and the whole boxing thing, that is the only thing that's in the UK.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I feel like UK is a bit dead at the moment in terms of creating new stuff. And it's like, unless there's drama fueled, I'm gonna fuck your mum or whatever.
It is literally just I'm gonna fight you. Yeah. That's it. We're gonna have a boxing match because that's what's popping right now.
Yeah, because I guess the last UK thing was the whole diss tracks, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
That was the last thing where the UK was kind of leading it.
Yeah, but we were doing all
but
right.
It was drama fueled. Everything, everything that.
We need a Shane Dawson over here. We need someone to kind of take what's going on and move it on.
His videos are great, aren't they?
But are you going to fight anyone soon? Is that on the cards?
I don't have any plans on fighting anyone soon. I was speaking to the boys back, because they always like, oh, would you actually fight anyone? I'm not against it.
Here
but
he is.
I also
here
wouldn't want to like if it was really there, it was like a proper
opportunity.
Maybe I would. Ooh. But I definitely wouldn't want to fight anyone that I deep down thought I was going to lose.
Would you step in the ring with Logan Paul?
Absolutely.
He's a fucking animal.
He is.
Do you know what? I think if you against your brother, I think that would be a really.
I think
that'd
be unfair. I think I'd beat him.
Connor like swinging his little arms.
Connor's not the most athletic person in the world. Yeah, I literally have no idea who I'd fight.
Who do you guys look up to at the moment on YouTube? Like, who's kind of inspiring your content? Like, right, I want to try and do something like this, or. I don't know.
There's actually no one. I was having this thought the other day. I was talking to my manager and I was like, I don't really know what I want to do at the moment on YouTube. And I don't know what kind of videos I want to put out and stuff. And I was just thinking, like, who is like doing well that I'd even want to, that I even do anything similar
from?
Yeah. And I was just like, there isn't really anyone. It was like, before Logan had his very, very terrible time, what he was doing before that was like, it was like completely changed everything, didn't it? So you look at that like, wow, like holy shit.
Yeah. Look but then he just got caught up in all
and
of
then,
that.
Yeah.
Especially daily vlogs though, to be fair, he did kind of revolutionise them.
Yeah, because there was a point where I was like, I don't want to do all these kind of like sit down videos anymore. I was like, they're getting so like boring to film.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, I want to kind of start daily vlogging and it's just...
pushing that level, but...
Well, David Dobrik's quite good.
Do you know what? He's my favourite YouTuber at the moment.
Yeah, he's in my top three.
But he just has such a unique thing because him and all his friends, they are just so always up for
it.
They will do everything he says. Whereas if I'm like to Mikey, hey, put this flamethrower I want to do, he'll be like, absolutely not, and he'll refuse to do it.
David's almost like running and producing his own TV show.
It's like a scripted reality show.
But the reason why it works so well is because obviously his channel's so successful, anyone who features or becomes like a character in that
obviously
then has their own thing that they can do after that. So
have you found that the YouTube, like the algorithm changes and things like that, has that kind of affected the way you're looking at creating content? You know, like with swearing and with the self-rating now and all of this,
all of that kind of stuff. It's just like I don't look into it too much, which I think is probably a bit of a problem considering it's my job, but I really don't, because I feel I've kind of been all right in terms of like monetization. There's not been any points where like loads of my videos getting unmonetized and that stuff. I know Josh had some problems and it's like, why? I feel like they're just randomly picking and I just haven't kind of come up. I used to swear a lot in my videos. I mean, not like on purpose, like purpose swearing loads. But I used to do that, and my videos used to probably be against what their guidelines are now in terms of like swearing and the topics we talk about and stuff. So now it's probably, I've had to like
mellow it down.
Yeah, a little bit, which is fine, because I haven't had to do like too much. It is literally things like we're just bleeping out when I swear and stuff like that, which is still fine. Like fine, it's not too difficult, but some people are just so
really
like,
but.
Fucked.
Well, it's just a shame, because that used to be what differentiated YouTube from TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you could do whatever you want.
I think we're in a real position at the moment where we haven't seen as many YouTubers feel anti-YouTube at the moment in terms of the platform and the services it's providing as a creator, in terms of trying to run a business, trying to run a brand, trying to build a brand online. It feels like it's harder now more than ever.
100%. I was saying again the other day, I was just like, I'd hate to be making a YouTube channel right now.
Could you imagine starting?
It's so hard. There's so much competition and stuff like that. Yeah. There's so many people around, like, kind of like 100 to 500K mark to get kind of past that and be original. And that is so
difficult. I feel like a lot of the younger generation now are kind of in the mindset of the only way I'm going to get big is if I'm just coming for other people. And there's so much negativity. That's pretty much all the new YouTube that I see, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, because I don't think what they realise between a lot of the big YouTubes, like when the whole diss track thing, it's all just like it's not real. Like, no, it's funny. They're joking. Yeah. Like, whole side men's up. They're literally like best friends. They're all doing diss tracks to each other, obviously as a joke, and then it'll do so well. And people are actually believing, like, oh, yeah, they did it.
Because that was smart.
So
that was smart from them. That's like a smart, so, it was so smart,
wasn't
business.
It was like WWE, isn't it? Like, you don't care if it's real or not. It's just entertaining and it's funny. Oh,
come on, Jack, what are we going to do? We've got to change the scene in the UK.
I know. I try to think of something every single day. Oh, I still can't.
Help people. I wish if it was you're that listening, please let us
give
know.
Give me an idea, someone.
But Jack, you do a lot of like DJing as well around YouTube, don't you? So how do you stay on top of it all?
How did you get into that? Yeah, like, obviously, music is inspired through my blood, family. In
It was just kind of something I always wanted to do. Again, from when I was younger, one of my best friends, who's now also like kind of like my tour manager in terms of my DJing stuff, was a DJ. So I was just like, oh, this looks so like fun. And it's not easy, but you're kind of looking, like, he made it look so, like, easy. And I was like, you know, he has so much fun with it. I was like...
Was he, like, producing as well? Was he more just,
No, he was more just, like, DJ. Solid kind of DJing. And I was just like, oh, Alex, I want to learn how to do this. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know if I wanted to do anything with it. I was like, it'd just be, like, a fun little thing to learn. And kind of with, like, YouTube and what we do, as busy as we are, we also have, we can kind of choose when we're busy and stuff. So I knew I had, like, time to learn, and I could do it pretty easily, like, figure out how to do it all. So I just bought all the stuff
and learned how to do it.
Just sat there and like kind of taught myself. My friend kind of helped me a bit as well. It's a good little side project to do with things like that. I was thinking, oh, in terms of like freshers,
like the uni parties.
Because you did a tour.
I did a fresh tour. I did like 17 fresher shows.
17 in my head. I was about to say you did 4 places. 17.
I did quite a lot last year.
Was that like consecutively, like in a month or something, or a couple of months?
Yeah, probably in like the space of 2 months.
Like, okay, that's like a proper tour.
Yeah, really, kind of mid September to like beginning of October.
Freshest time. Yeah.
some of them are so weird. Some of them are in like December and shit, though. It's really weird.
Oh, really?
Some of them are all over the place.
Yeah.
And not always like the first kind of week.
How was it? Like, did you love it?
Is it as glamorous? Absolutely.
It's not as glamorous as you'd think. I mean, it kind of can be. It depends how demanding I am. But it's just so much fun because I'll go, especially just like a big night out, all my friends will come. I'll DJ for an hour. They'll kind of look after us afterwards and stuff, sort us out with kind of whatever we need. So we'll just go there and go wild.
Yeah. Do you feel like, so I was at like Tomorrowland last weekend, when obviously the DJs and producers are playing there, they have like complete control of the audience. Like the audience is so, everyone jump and everyone's like, I'm gonna jump, even if you don't want to.
I don't even know this song is happening.
Is it a similar thing to that?
It definitely is on a way smaller scale. Like there were some fresh shows that I did. There was like one in Bath and like Cheltenham. There were like 4,000 people. Like this, because they're
That's
kind of
people.
In the, there's not that much going on around there. Instead of like, they won't go to like a club or anything, they'll go to their actual like freshers shows. Like, whereas if you do a freshers thing in London, it's terrible because people are like, I can just go
anywhere.
One of like 20 kind of clubs.
Whoever's
or something.
Doing like the best deal.
Exactly.
Or
so, but yeah, like the freshers ones, especially, they're so like engaged. It's like like you're performing. That's what most of them felt like. Because sometimes you're, at first, I kept thinking, I'm just going to go there and play some songs. And people will, they're not going to kind of book me if no one there knows who I am. So I was like, at least some people will know me, but it's really like you're performing.
So are they like the YouTube presenting, DJing, are they all equal in your terms of like what you enjoy the most? Or do you have a favourite?
It depends kind of what I'm doing. I guess YouTube is kind of fun because like, I'm in full control. I can literally do whatever I want. And it has so many perks in terms of like, went to Tomorrowland because like, like that. DJing is just so fun if you've like at a really like good one, like loads of people, everyone's loving it.
Yeah.
It's honestly so fun. Like at the end, you're just like, I don't want to stop. I just
want to carry on
because
you're on that
you feel
high,
like,
that buzz.
And presenting is probably, I mean, it's not my least favorite because I've done so many cool things, but I think that can be the most stressful. That's when you have to think about the most.
Well, yeah, like, I feel like you're under like the on most your pressure on the spot, like there.
Especially
and there.
When it's like, I've done videos for like Sony with their films coming out, and it is on YouTube, but it definitely feels like presenting. I had to do a video with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh yeah, mate.
And it's
that's
just
like pressure because you're under a time pressure as well.
Yeah, I've got like. You just get 5 minutes, but because I'm doing it for them, they're like, okay, Jack gets like 10.
7 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, you have to send every question you're going to ask, like, before and all of this. And annoying, it's one of those things because they're both so funny. And when I was in there, they didn't care. But their agents are like, no, they're not going to talk about that. They don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. But when you're in there, they don't.
Yeah,
they
a lot of the time when especially, you're in that scenario, they want to do something a bit more fun because they're just sat there going, yeah, my character's like this. Yeah, the film's about this. So if you come in with something new, it's
and then,
like,
when, like, I mean, for instance, Jennifer Lawrence was talking about how, like, the week before she had some, like, after party thing for, like, the rap, and she woke up in some, like, random person's house and all this.
Okay.
And they were just looking like, what is she doing? Tell her to stop. Like, no. And I'm just, like, soaking it in. I'm loving it. But, oh, God, they put so much pressure on you. Like, you've got 10 minutes. You cannot talk about this.
Yeah.
You have to talk about these points. And then you can do a little bit of, like, your
then you can
thing.
Have some fun.
Yeah. And it's just, like,
God, that must be stressful. Because also, isn't there, like, loads of people in the room, too?
Oh,
when you're
it's
doing
so...
It? It's not like this, just the three of us. And
it's probably this big with another, like, ten people around you as well. They're really, like, really horrible. And you kind of just want to get as much as you can out of it. So you do just kind of have to, like, cross your fingers and just go for it and do what you want. And hope they don't stop you. There have been times where they're like, no, can't.
Cut.
So it's like, okay, sorry.
I'm a celebrity.
What a show. Let's go for it.
How was firstly the experience of obviously going from YouTube and then moving into a show like something like that that is one of the most watched shows in the country?
So let's talk about before the bad stuff happened. Like right up until
I'm
that
gonna
point.
I'm going to bring you up.
Before then, the experience was the most amazing experience I've like ever had. We kind of knew that this year they wanted a YouTuber. Yeah. This is the first year we want a YouTuber to go on I'm a Celeb. So go in and have a meeting about it and talk about it. And kind of going in, I definitely wasn't thinking I'm going to get it, but I was kind of confident. I was like, I feel like I may be a bit of a choice because like I said, before all that, like, YouTube changed a lot, my videos were definitely a bit kind of, I guess maybe edgier and like said. Yeah. So I was like, I think that might be a bit quite appealing to them, but it was more going there just to meet them, just to show them my face for any other kind of stuff they've got going on as well. And yeah, went to the meeting. It was like one meeting, met two people from ITV who at the point didn't kind of know how big they are, but one of them was like the exec, like producer of the show. Wish I'd known that going in. I remember the conversation went really well and it was like really funny. I don't know what was wrong with me that day, but I got them laughing quite a lot, and then they were just talking about things I'm scared of, and I was just saying how I'm literally like, if I was to do that I shouldn't have told them this. I should have played it smart and been like, oh, I'm not really scared of anything, but I just
no, but they want that because they want it's
yeah, but you also don't
right?
want to tell them what you're scared of because they'll make sure that happens. Kind of left and I was like, oh, to be fair, that went like quite well. I was fairly confident. Then I went in to meet my manager. She's like, yeah, they want you to do it.
They love you.
She just straight up said, she was like, I can't believe it. They actually want you to do it.
What did you think of that time? Were you like, oh my God, this is like, going to be crazy?
And I was like, now I have to decide if I
want
to do
it. If
you
actually want, because like,
because really, because you look at that, would you want to do that? Think about that. If you get to the end, you're in jungle for 3 weeks surrounded by the worst things.
Yeah, but I don't think that would be the biggest thing to think about. That would obviously be one big thing. I think the other thing is it's like that would change your life in the public eye. Like that would change you now walking down to a coffee shop and like grab a coffee versus everyone being like, oh, you're in the jungle.
Also, it's working for 3 weeks. Like without a day off.
this is the thing like I was kind of thinking about. If I get the whole way like really in the back of your thinking, if I win, like amazing. And I was thinking, the winners always go off and do loads like, kind of presenting stuff, and I was like, who knows what it would do for my YouTube. I was honestly thinking, I like
that mindset going in. You're like, mate, if I win,
I was thinking that because I was like, look, I have no idea, but I was thinking, I've got a big like audience.
Social
I was looking at people who are going before and going in, like they have a decent social following, but maybe not ones quite as engaged as YouTubers do. So I was like, it could work in my favour, but really that's just like a droplet of water in like the oceans of people that vote on a show like that. Like it's like 14 million people watch it a day.
The only thing I can relate to with that is when, so Alfie and I did stuff with Saturday Night Takeaway, which is like similar sort of audience, sort of viewership. And it's like, same thing. We have like our engaged audiences who come and like support you.
Yeah.
But when you're put in front of like 7 million people who don't know you.
It's all the mums and dads,
like,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you've got to do a good impression. And I was kind of thinking, like, I am myself on YouTube, but I'm still, you know, I'm not going to sit there in a bad mood.
No, but if I'm
in a bad mood, yeah, like,
you're switched on.
I'm switched on in front of a camera.
It's a heightened version.
And I was thinking, I feel like I could do that 24/7 around the camera for sure. I feel like the time I was in there, I did. I was quite comfortable in that, but I wasn't thinking about kind of the bad things. I knew things that I had like tweeted before, and I knew that we deleted them way before that. The day I signed up to Gleam. All those tweets then got deleted. But they went through every tweet I've ever done. And we deleted all of them because, you know, we knew they were just stupid.
Yeah,
like
but
a young me doesn't like.
Well, I was about
me
to say
now, kind of whatsoever. I even looked at them like, what was wrong with me then? I was looking at that like some stupid kid as if it was even me. I was like, what was going through that
but
person's head?
If you think like in your defense, I would say that when you think of like when you first set up Twitter and stuff like that, I was using Twitter as I was using my personal Facebook, and like
exactly.
when I look back at the cringy stuff I've said on personal Facebook, it's like. Oh, yeah, like
oh,
what?
Even now, like on your memories.
Yeah,
even up, like, I'm like, oh God, really?
So why did I ever think that was funny? Basically, all I was thinking was some things are going to come out that have already come out before. I was like, things are just going to resurface and I'm fine with that. I can take that embarrassment. I've been through it the first time, which was definitely the worst. I was like, I can take it now. I mean, I am embarrassed and I regret it, but I was like, I know how to do
it
now.
Yeah, of course.
I have apologized about it before and I will do it again.
Sure.
But I had to get like those like PR people before I went in as well who know how
know
to
it,
deal
how
with
how to handle
so you
those
did all this before you went in the jungle
yeah like you, you,
so you prepared
yeah
for
you do prepare
if, so is that
for
because of like
well.
The intrusion of like the press and things because it's so intense and they're looking for anything for like gossip aren't they
loads of stuff happened with like Stormzy and like Zoe like
yeah,
on Twitter with their previous tweets that
yeah,
came out
that.
And they made it a big thing about YouTubers. It's not just Zoe, it's
YouTubers.
That's what they do about
everyone
everything.
Whenever something bad comes out about someone, it's like, oh, you're a YouTuber, you're involved in that.
That's like
But so, that set off the stream.
So let's try and now find stuff about everyone. Oh, look at that. Oh, look, there's another YouTuber. Oh, and he's going on the biggest show in the country. Let's find
everything
we can about this guy. So the day the show started, the exec editor of The Sun did a tweet. He was like, oh, I've got some stuff basically on Jack Maynard. I'll find out tonight what it is. My manager would
and
see
that.
And
are you aware? Like, are you...
I have no idea any of this is going on.
Do you not have contact with
Gleam? Oh, no.
Gleam?
I've
like,
got
so
no
you're...
contact with no one. I haven't for a week. I have no idea what's going on in the
be,
world.
That's got to be so weird.
So they're just like, oh, no. And then, like the tweets kind of came out. And he put them all out there and he made a big thing about me. So it was like, boom, first day, that's happened.
But how do you...
That was on the first day.
The day the show started.
How do you think that happens, though, in terms of, like, this guy, the guy from The Sun? Like, how's he getting that stuff? Or how's he knowing that? Like,
so, supposedly, again, I found this kind of when I came out. Supposedly, someone sent it to him. But the thing is, for that to happen, I mean, it's possible, but someone could have...
From years
when
ago,
I tweeted that, would have print screened it.
Yeah.
As if like they had a fucking vision that this was gonna like Jack's gonna
the Oracle.
Like, Jack's gonna do something quite well and I'm gonna ruin it for him pretty much. Someone obviously printed from years ago. It was when it was in 2011. The tweet.
Wow, seven years ago.
Yeah, I was in school.
At what point was it you were made aware of it? Or
I had no idea. During this page, you have no idea what time it is. You have no idea what's going on.
You're
you don't
put
know
with
what
people,
you're about
you
to
don't
expect.
Know what they're
you're
like.
Scared.
Making a lot of small talk.
Yeah, there's a lot of sitting around and a lot of small talk. At this point, you're just like,
I want to go home.
Like, you're kind of thinking, how am I going to do this for 3 weeks? And I haven't even had to do anything bad yet.
Did you have a contingency plan for this? Like, in the eventuality that this happened?
Well,
something in place?
Never thought this would happen.
Yeah.
I kind of had like, you know, like I said, these things have come out before and I've apologised about them before and it was just, I apologise
again. When you're going in, you don't have that vision of going, oh, this is going to make mainstream media,
press,
I'm going to be on front page of newspapers and I'm going to
get kicked out of the show. The thing is as well, my worry was, I was like, you know, mainstream media, I think we all know this, mainstream media do not like YouTubers. They
love
don't.
Us.
They have such,
well, they don't
like,
know how
personal.
Much money you guys make anyway.
Yeah, that's all they care about. But going in, they were giving me like really nice press and they were making quite a big deal out of me going in. They're like, you know, who is he? They're like, oh, he may be Connor's brother, but he's also actually done these things for like, and he's doing really well for himself. And I was like, decent, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So that was the one thing I was kind of concerned about. And that gave me like an extra boost. So going in, I was like really confident.
How did you do it like the week after? So you're back in the UK and everything.
So
like,
yeah, I get
did you
kicked
just keep...
out, go to the hotel, grab my stuff.
Mate, that flight has got to be like the worst flight of your life.
Hours. Get to the hotel, when I get my phone, that's when call my manager, like, properly have a proper chat with them, like kind of like a debrief. They've booked my I've got to leave in literally like I had like an hour in the room, and then I was on a flight back to London. This is on my birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course, I remember.
It was on my birthday.
It must have felt like a bad dream. Like, it's just one thing after another.
It was just so weird. And then
that's surreal.
I had like 20 minutes left in the room, so I was like, I still hadn't looked at anything. I saw I had messages from like all my friends. I'd be like, oh, like, we're so sorry. But I was like, I'm not going to kind of read
them.
But I called my brother because I knew he was trying to call me. He was like, once you've spoken to your Mandarin, he's like, call me if you have time. So I called him. And that was like kind of, that was when I like felt the worst. You know, that was like a really low point. Because that wasn't even, because at least when I was on the phone to Mandarin, there was so much going on that I had to like focus on and think about like when I get back and how we can do
this.
Well,
your brother,
and
it's like the emotions probably
kicking
in.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like, he was just like, oh, he was like so like gutted like for me as well. And he was like, have you looked online? And I was like, fuck that. Yeah. And he was like, no, you should. He was like, everyone is like on your side.
That's what I was about to say. I feel like you had a real like public support
online. It
from,
was like crazy. Yeah. So like, I hung up, went on Twitter, and I like, obviously like literally like trending number one. It was like top moment on Twitter and all of this stuff. And I was like, oh god, they kind of explained what it was. I saw like all the photos of the tweets, and I was like, geez, I was like, why did I ever do that? Yeah. I was like, what was wrong with me? I was like, I'm such an idiot. But then I was looking at, I mean, I had literally people like Katie Hopkins on my side. Oh. She was like, trust me, I've done some things, you're an angel.
That gem.
I was like, god. And don't forget, she was on it, and she never was kicked off, and the thing she said. Yeah.
I feel like my personal view was that like how they treated you was perhaps not very nice and the right way to do it.
Like, I was very sorry for like what I did and everything like that, but I also felt like it was because I was a YouTuber that's when they went to town on me, because also tweets had come out that, and I really wanted to say this like when I got out, but tweets that Amir had done and Rebecca Vardy, and I was like, well, I'm in there, I've become such good friends with them, I don't want to throw them under the bus.
Yeah.
But I'd been tweeted so many tweets that they'd done when they were like 25
and
like 26.
It was almost
and stuff.
Like from you, like,
and
why
theirs
me?
Were way worse than mine. Yeah. And I was like, and they're still in there.
I think to sum it up, it goes back to saying like what we do when we're young, we're fucking stupid when we're young.
Yeah.
And you've already apologised.
Yeah, like, but also like the things we say, it's like at the time that's put on a platform where you think it's just
it
you and your
like
friends
200
or like
people
messing about.
I went to school with. Should my actions when I'm 16, should I still be like held accountable for them when I'm, should it ruin my life for the rest of my life? Should I never get a TV job again? Because when I was 16, I said something stupid. I was like, I bet if I looked at every person on TV, if I could see, like, if I had their phones, well, I mean, probably half of them didn't even have phones by then, but like, if they had Twitter and stuff like that in when they were that age, the things they'd have said would have been just as bad.
Yeah, it's different. Like you're saying with the 25-year-olds, it's like, by the time you're 25, you're like, you're a bit of a mature adult, you're a young adult.
Tweets, if I'd done them last year or whatever,
it's a bit of a different story.
I 100% would agree that I should not be on there if I was saying things like that. But
well, it's crazy because even like comedy writers, when they're doing stuff from a different age, like in the 90s or the noughties, and they're writing, you know, really offensive things. Even Little Britain, and that's not that long
ago. I mean,
there were some things in that you're like, wow, you could not say that today.
They're like, oh no, it's comedy. Well, where's
the
line?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's because people associate YouTubers with being like, you are a role model, and like it's like your personality, you influence people, and
who are like 15, and it's like,
No,
like I don't. Somebody in my audience is like 18 plus as well. You have no idea.
Looking back on that now, do you feel like you've obviously, I don't know, it's a crazy thing to experience, life experience, journey to go on.
Yeah, like, I learned like a lot from it. I wish I could see, I hate to think about it, but like what would have happened if I didn't get kicked off, and like where, like what I would be doing now.
And how's your mindset now, like for those shows? So for example, if they came back to you now and were like, yo, would you come back on?
Well, I got rumours floating around that I may or may not have been mentioned to do like Big Brother, but I was like, no. If I knew for a fact I could go on I'm a Celeb Again and those things would not come up and nothing else bad would come out, you know, I feel like I kind of have it in me to make people think I'm not a terrible person and that I am like a nice guy and stuff, and people would enjoy me being on the show, but I don't think I'd risk it, no way, because it's just not worth it, is it? What's the point?
The BQ, the big question.
What's the big question?
Oh, I'd be nervous if I was you. Now, the big question is a segment every single week. Matt finds the weirdest articles online somewhere and derives a big question from there, usually something silly.
Okay. This isn't actually as silly as usual, to be honest.
Okay.
So the headline is, surprising songs couples have forbidden from their weddings.
Okay.
Some of them are classics.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think? This isn't the question, but what do you guys think is in like the top five?
Angels, Robbie Williams.
Oh, they're just kind of like classic songs that people are like fed up of.
Some of them are. There's a mix.
Okay, I was thinking like, you know, like Laurel, Chris Brown. That probably wouldn't go down too well. With these hoes ain't loyal at your wedding. It's not really what you want to be hearing.
Number one, I've never heard of this song, Chicken Dance. What's that?
I don't know.
It's just called Chicken Dance.
Doesn't that not by, like? Is it,
it doesn't
by?
Even say who it's by. Okay. It just great. Says. But then number two is Cha Cha Slide.
Understandable. Yeah. That comes on at my wedding.
Number three.
I'm bottling the DJ.
Macarena.
Okay. Yeah.
Is Mambo yeah. number five on there?
I think it is on Cotton Eye Joe's there.
Oh, it's a classic.
Oh, mate.
I hate these songs when they come on in like at things.
Yeah.
Any kind of like,
it's like school disco, isn't it? Like yeah, YMCA's on here.
It's like no, oh, yeah, get it yeah. off.
But there were a few like big songs. Like Uptown Funk is on there.
Really?
That was tied number 24.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like that songs like that just became so overplayed. Yeah, 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 it would get yeah. to a point where people are like
the oh. highest like normal song is Happy is number 9.
Because I'm happy.
That was at my wedding actually. I think. Oh, I think the band God. Played it.
That was when I left.
So my question to you guys is, which songs would you have banned from your wedding?
Any of my brothers.
I was just about to say, surely for you it's any of Connor's.
Yeah, because he will get on the mic and he will not stop until he is kicked off.
Sure. Oh, Connor could sing at your wedding. That'd be nice.
But he'll try. Every any DJ moment. Event I do and he comes, he'll be like, fine, go on. Where's the mic? Give me the mic. I'm like, I don't want you to.
That's
do it.
Sweet. He's though. Like, come on. He just wants to be like, he loves properly
it.
Loved.
He tries to make it about, oh, I remember one of the first ones I did, he was like, he came to my show in like a full, like red tracksuit, and we were like, what are you doing? He's like, because I'm determined to take all the attention away from you and put it on me. Yeah, I mean, really, see, just any of my kind of brother songs, I think they're banned.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I passionately hate any musician or music that much.
I feel
yeah.
really bad, but
I feel like the ones that are on there are yeah, definitely on mine as
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
what do you mean's on there as well? I thought because you love Biebs, don't you?
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know why that's on there, really. They're just haters.
Not too offensive.
The song I really, and it is an amazing song, but I hate it, is John Legend, All of Me.
I just can't understand that. Unless like the groom is singing it.
It is a beautiful song.
Romantic shit. Of course it is. It's like Ed Sheeran as well. There's a couple of those. I'm like, oh man, I can't listen
perfect.
To that
anymore. Must be like the biggest
the
wedding
most
song
popular
right now,
wedding
right?
dance song, surely.
Yeah. Bruno Mars, I think I'm gonna marry you. That's on the notes. If you have that at a wedding, come on, guys.
Shock. Like, who's the DJ?
I second that list, other than Biebs.
Yeah. Free Biebs.
That was this week's big question.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Going on tour? yeah, I'm going on tour in October, DJing, doing a full show. Going to have special guests coming out, stuff
is
like
it,
that.
Is it Freshers and stuff again?
No, it's my own tour.
Your own?
Jack Maynard tour called Headlines. Ooh. Why is it called that, we wonder? It's going to have like special acts. Like the last show I did, like the Vamps came out.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like that, so they can expect people like
some
that.
Surprise.
Right. They're going to be there, but you know.
Is your brother going?
Yeah, so Connor's doing London and Glasgow shows in the first and the last one. UK
tickets
tour.
Tickets on sale.
Tickets on sale now.
Where can they buy them?
Live Nation website, and just type in my name now.
All right.
It'll pop up.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Sharing your stories, and I hope you guys at home have found it interesting with Mr. Jack Maynard on. As always, please rate our podcast 5 stars. We're closing in on 2,000 5-star reviews now, which is nice.
Oh, sound like an Uber.
Yeah.
Stars, please.
Yeah, get in there. Keep it there. You can subscribe on iTunes, Acast, all those other places, and we will see you guys next week. Goodbye.
All right.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.